Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Scrolling through our text here. Alan, you didn't get a lot of support from our texters on your phone call. Alan is an OSU grad. I'm not saying that's true. That's what a texter said. Turn Alan off. My ears are bleeding.
What's that supposed to mean? He's an OSU grad. I don't get that. Was that some sort of dig or something?
Yes.
I don't understand.
It's an insult.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. You're a genius, texter.
Another one says Lonzo thinks it too. Well, okay. And another one says, Lonzo, don't you idiot-proof the calls before you put guys like Alan on the air? The answer is no. We let anybody come on the air around here.
We take nearly anybody.
Nearly anybody can get on the air here, almost.
If you identify yourself as a Michigan fan right away.
That's not a good suggestion.
Maybe not.
I consider it, but I still put you on.
All right, 844-477-3776. 3 o'clock, time for three questions in the huddle. We have baseball. We have golf. We, of course, have football. On three questions today, beginning with question number one, Lonzo.
Time for the haters on the other side of the board to answer a question. How much impact will the Urban Meyer mess have on the future of Ohio State football?
None, right, Richmond?
Zero.
No, you don't believe that.
In all honesty, yes, it will have an impact in terms of there will be some recruits that won't go there. We might not ever know if they make their decision based on just these events that have unfolded with Urban Meyer. They might not ever tell anybody.
Quantify it.
But quantify it?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. Quantify it.
Perhaps I used the wrong word. I'm sorry I interrupted your time. You go right ahead.
Well, my point is that we might not ever know if, in fact, that a recruit decides not to go to Ohio State, but there will be an impact. They will lose some recruits. If they use other things that not even close to the magnitude of this as far as negative recruiting and it has an impact, this will definitely have an impact. I think it will have an impact for a period of time as far as just how Ohio State will be viewed. But you know what will happen? 2 or 3 years from now, Urban Meyer, if he wins another national championship, history tells me that people will forget about it. People have forgotten about Bill Clinton's issues. People are trying to forget about President Trump. People are forgetting about the big banks were too big to fail, the issue there. I mean, all of these things in history, people sometimes just tend to forget about it because of time. And if he continues to have success and win, I'm not certain there will be a huge impact on the program, but there will be some, at least in the short term.
Lonzo?
I think the funny part is Richmond saying we may never know about it. So that means you can't prove that it happened. I think it has zero effect on recruiting. Sorry. There's going to be negative recruiting anyway. It had nothing to do with what happened on the field. It didn't. Yes, he should not have lied. Yes, the coach who allegedly beat his wife should have been fired. But this has nothing to do with the play on the field. The only way that it would possibly affect it would be some parents going, I don't want you to go to Ohio State. But I don't even think that's going to happen. It's going to have zero effect.
I don't only think it will have a recruiting impact, and you know we can debate how much, but there will be lots of clipped headlines, screenshots of stories that have very negative headlines about Urban Meyer passed around to potential recruits, which have an impact. And I don't think it takes much, because there are some pretty good Big Ten schools up there that will use that negative recruiting, and probably some other big schools outside the Big Ten that will do that as well. But think about this. How about big donors to Ohio State who care less about football than the average fan? How about the non-athletic donors to Ohio State? Will it have an impact on those guys who are embarrassed by all this? Will they give less money? I would submit to you that they might do that. I said this earlier in the show. I think Ohio State would have been better off cutting bait on this and taking a bigger, long-term approach to go ahead and turning the page on a guy that they knew had issues at Florida, and now they know he has issues at Ohio State. But instead, they did a tap dance last night that was embarrassing. They did not answer the questions about why Urban Meyer lied at Big Ten Media Days. They just basically said he told untruths, but he didn't mean to lie. I don't know what that means. I don't know what kind of verbal contortion you have to do to believe that mess. And then they've got a guy that kept on a serial abuser. I don't care about convictions. I don't care about arrest reports. They know this guy mistreated his wife. I believe that. They know he did. Urban Meyer knew he did. And he kept him on and tried to cover for him. So there will be parents that care about that. I can't quantify it either. I don't know how you quantify that. Richmond is right. We won't know what recruit decided to go to Michigan or Penn State or Clemson or Alabama instead of Ohio State because of this. We'll never know that. But there will be some, and it'll be enough to negatively impact the future of Ohio State football, which is not the most important thing in all this. The most important thing in all this is that somebody mistreated their wife and was able to keep his employment because somebody covered for him. To me, that's the big deal. All right, question number two, Lonzo.
By the way, verbal contortion. That was cool. All right, Phil versus Tiger will be a pay-per-view event. How much would you be willing to pay to watch it? Now, I'm not above paying some money for a pay-per-view. I am one of the people who paid to watch McGregor and Mayweather. Yes, I paid full price to watch that. I have paid to watch WrestleMania. I have paid to watch MMA events. There is no way in the world I am going to pay to watch golf. But that's because I'm not a golf fan. If I was a golf fan, this would be a matchup I'd want to see. I would have wanted to see it 10 years ago, but it's definitely a match that I would have wanted to see. And I wouldn't be surprised if golf fans pay for it.
I won't pay for it either, and I am a golf fan. Why couldn't they put this on free TV? Why do we immediately have to go to pay-per-view for this?
Because it's just a money grab.
It's just a money grab. That's right. But they can get great ratings for it. They can pay with advertising for this. They don't have to do the money grab. It'll be at least $50. I won't pay $50 to watch this. I just won't. Even though I like the event, it's in the middle of football season. There'll be competition for it out there. You know, I like the idea that they're going to mic Phil and they're going to mic Tiger and maybe they're going to mic the caddies and there'll be some trash talk going back and forth, and we heard how bad Phil is at that already. So that'll be funny. It'll be entertaining. You know, they could have some side bets on individual shots with their own money, which would make it more interesting. The money in this doesn't come for Phil or Tiger, so they don't really. I mean, it's just a big, easy payday for them. I just don't like that this first thing you do like this in golf, you immediately make it pay-per-view. And it's kind of offensive that you do it with two golfers who are beyond their prime. I'm a little offended by that. I know they're the biggest names in golf, but I'm just, give it to us for free. Sell advertising. I will not pay to watch Phil and Tiger. Richmond.
And as much as I'm a Tiger fan and would love to see this, and I think there's an aspect that it would be even better if it was 15 to 20 years ago that we got to see them go head-to-head like this. I want to see Tiger come back, but I don't want to pay $49 just to watch him play Phil Mickelson. And I'm saying $49. I have no idea what it's going to cost.
It'll be at least that. There's no pay-per-view for less than that, is there?
I think there are some.
$29. You can
for
get
what?
Some stuff for $29. Nothing comes to mind right now, but I have seen things for $29, but it's usually something with not a lot on it.
It won't be this. Yeah. I promise you it won't be this. They'll charge $50 or $75. Will they charge $100 for this? I hope not.
I hope not. I can't imagine that it's going to be less than $30. And the frustrating thing about this is that I think this is one of the reasons why for – some fans, they boxing started going down this route as far as pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, with UFC, it's the same type of situation. Could the sport be even bigger if they just continued to air even the big events? I know they air some stuff, but I'm talking about all the other big events. Why would you not air it for free?
There's nothing bigger than the Super Bowl, and it's not pay-per-view.
Yes.
Why does this have to be pay-per-view?
Exactly.
Not yet.
Well, I hope it doesn't go that way. Look, the biggest events in sports are not pay-per-view. Why does this? Why do they do this?
If
the Super Bowl was pay-per-view, would you pay for it?
No. Just on principle. I just don't care enough.
If Green Bay was in it.
Yes.
At least you're truthful.
Yeah, I probably would for Green Bay. But no, look, I mean, I believe in free radio. That's what makes us so great. There's no subscription. You can tune into this outstanding daily program every day without paying for it.
Three-time winner of the South Carolina Broadcasters Association.
Why does everything have to be that way? Why does it have to be that way? And you know, when you do it with something kind of on the fringe of real mainstream big-time sports, and I think this is because it's two golfers who are not in their prime playing head-to-head.
Well, and the reason why you see this, I'll give my best Aaron Rodgers impression. G-R-E-E-D. Greed.
Yeah.
But, you know, people want to see a fun event. This is going to be potentially a fun event, so I think people will pay for it. No one in this room will.
Yeah, someone will, yeah.
Yeah, of course they've got some type of research that shows that
there's a perception out there that golfers are snooty rich people, and a lot of them are, and those snooty rich people will be able to afford to pay $50 or $60 to watch this
match. Yeah, but that's what made Tiger so impactful, and he changed kind of that image. He changed that perception when he came on, that he was this guy that wasn't that, and what he was able to do in terms of dominating. So why do they want to go back down this road?
Hate it. Don't like it. All right. Everybody answered, right? All right. Question
three. Yes, we did. Question number three. How much Little League World Series are you watching?
Where are we, me?
I'm lost. We are with you, yes.
If it wasn't on this TV in this studio right now, the answer would be zero.
It counts.
There's too much of it. I can't do this. I'm not interested. I mean, I liked it when Northwood was in there. We had a local team. But other than that, no. I can't watch it. We have Japan and Puerto Rico on right now. Who we have on earlier? I don't even remember. It was a weird matchup. I can't do it. You know, people say they can't watch women's basketball, but you can watch kids playing baseball. I can't. No, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not even looking up at you, Rich. I'm not looking above your head because there's a TV screen up there. I refuse. And it's everywhere. It feels like it's on every ESPN channel all day. Is that exaggerating? Every time I turn on something from ESPN in the last week, there's been a bunch of kids playing baseball. I love kids. I'm not anti-kid. Can't do it.
Same here. I love kids. I love watching my kids play sports. But I just have not been tuned into the Little League World Series, and I never have. I'm not even that big of a baseball guy. So for me to watch the Little League World Series would be even more of a stretch for me. But I get it. I mean, I know it's kids having fun, but it's also, is it really kids just having fun when you're magnifying the game and the pressures that go into it from that standpoint? And you have to look at it, what does this do to just how we value just the game itself? Is it all just for money-making? It's like we talked about.
You see them swing at a ball, and it looks like, hey, he hit that hard enough to get over the infield and be a single. It goes over the fence. It's a home run. That's the way it looks to me. That was a home run. That little punch was a home run. I don't know. Can't do it. Lonzo, can you watch it?
Yeah, actually, I can. I watch it 2 to 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday, while we're in here.
Yeah.
But I've got the big screen in front of me, and even when you guys were out last week, I had it on. I was watching it. I think you remarked off air. You're actually watching that. I am watching that. But I'd be more interested in softball than baseball, but, you know, I spent so many times with my daughter going to all these softball games, and she actually went to the softball World Series. So to me, it's nostalgia, even though it's baseball. So I am interested a little bit. Am I interested enough to watch it outside of work? I don't know. Probably not. But at least while it's on, I mean, I could change the channel. I could change it to something else, but it's live sports. It's going on right now. Just a kid just got beamed in the head a second ago. That would have been the MLB. He would have rushed the pitcher, and there would have been a brawl.
That's right. When will the retribution happen? When will there be payback?
Oh, he'll get
when
them.
These teams meet again.
He'll get them later. Later yeah. on, like in the seventh.
How do you decide who to pull for?
In this case, I think we're just watching all North American teams. So, I don't know. I think it's one side. It's the world. And
I have no idea.
I don't get it. Yeah. When it was easy when it was Michigan playing. Who did they lose to?
They played Georgia yesterday.
Yeah, it was Michigan and Georgia.
The only reason I know that because it was on TV here.
Even though they're little kids, I'm still rooting against Michigan.
See?
So
that's not fair to those Michigan kids. They have nothing to do with Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, they're punks.
You can't blame them for Harbaugh and his
I'm not
idiocy.
Blaming them for Harbaugh. I'm blaming their parents for living in Michigan.
Okay. At least you have a reason. All right, 844-477-3776. We'll check in on Major League Baseball with Diddy coming up. Stay with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Mike Venditti, we call him Diddy for short, is in studio with us. Anything surprise you about the Urban Meyer mess last night? How late it was, what he said, what they did, yeah. Anything?
I wouldn't say anything surprised me. I don't know how anything could if you've known not only his history at Florida, but really just college football as a whole for any period of time. You know that a lot of times they prioritize football over a lot of things. And I think Ohio State once again did that yesterday. I do agree with Lonzo. I was listening on my way back from lunch that I don't think this impacts at all any recruiting, because I think if it had any inkling of doing that, he would have been fired. Because Ohio State still has to make sure they're winning football games. And if they're going to stop getting good recruits because of all this nonsense, I think he would have been out because they would have wanted to look forward.
Okay, but here's our point. We're not saying that Ohio State football recruiting is going to drop off the face of the map here.
Yeah.
We're not saying it's going to just completely dissolve. All we're saying is that you can't tell us that there might be a situation where one recruit mm-hmm. – decides, you know what? No, I'm going to sign with somebody else because of what's going on at Ohio State and what happened at Ohio State.
Well, maybe. I mean, but I don't know if that's going to be any different than it was before when you come at saying, hey, are you sure you want to go to Ohio State? Urban Meyer quit on his players once. So, I mean, I don't know if anything's going to be more negative than that, to be honest, in this. I don't know how you can really over-negative recruit against Urban Meyer beyond saying he up and quit on his kids.
Well, I
Florida.
Think when you start looking so, at an issue yeah. of questioning somebody's honesty and integrity, yeah. that has to have some impact on
how about the business about
one
him
person
losing his memory?
Yeah, loses memory. I'm going to be bluntly honest right now. I suffer from severe depression and anxiety and take heavy yeah. medications for it.
Yeah.
I forget to maybe pay a bill on time and get it the next day. Maybe forget my wallet on the counter at home. You don't forget your wife telling you about your assistant coach beating up his pregnant wife.
Probably not.
That's not the kind of thing that just, I just slipped my mind. I just lost it. You know, no, that's garbage. And you know, that was that deteriorate into he forgot he had quit Florida to spend time with his family, so he took the job in Bristol with ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot I was going to go home, wasn't I?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not how that works. That's kind of almost, you know, cheapening what the real issue is that I appreciated him talking about a couple years back with his anxiety issues.
You were down in Florida during all this stuff when Tebow was there and everybody mm-hmm. talked about Tebow instead of the 31 arrests,
yep.
right? Right. He needs another Tebow, right?
Well, I guess he needs another Tebow, yeah. And he doesn't have one, not that I know of, at least. There's not that superstar, you know, we already knew Tebow his junior year of high school in that he was the golden child. You know, he was the perfect human coming up from high school. That's why a lot of us hated him before he even stepped foot in college, because it was like, oh my goodness, can we stop talking about this kid? He's a high school kid, you know, and he proved it on the field, but he was the ultimate smokescreen probably in the history of sports. With everything going on in Gainesville at that time, nobody talked about it. I mean, there's alleged incidents that have you know, pages and pages of reports about, with Aaron Hernandez himself being in a maybe attempted murder issue, and none of this ever comes out until Aaron Hernandez actually commits murder, and we look back at what happened under Urban Meyer in Florida. So yeah, the Tim Tebow smokescreen is unbelievable, and yeah, I don't see that being the case here, and it's not going to go away because of how last night went. And not even, you know, mentioning the victim's name, really acting like you're sorry that you were caught and you're sorry that they found out you weren't being honest, then you're really sorry about what actually happened at Ohio State and Florida.
All the apologies were to Buckeye Nation.
Yeah. Yeah. We're sorry, fans. We know you'll support us regardless. Yeah, that's really what it is. And that's the thought process and the unfortunate culture that football is more important. And that shouldn't be how it is.
Let's get to baseball. Your Red Sox are winning today. They hit a little soft spot there. Looked like they were struggling a little bit, but they got it back. And they still have a 9-game lead, so all is well, right?
I got to say, they've upped their Twitter game this year, because early in the season that was not good. Right now it's really good. And last night, I think ESPN stats desk Twitter tweeted that the Red Sox winning last night are still the only team in baseball to not have a 4-game win streak or losing streak.
Oh,
and the team retweeted it saying, "We're so sorry for that long losing streak of 3 games. But I mean, you have to start wondering when things like that happen, and you do see, you know, chinks in the armor as the season goes on. And this time of the season, with this late August swoons into September, the call-ups and the 40-man rosters, you're fighting against teams that are fighting for position that have depth, more depth even now with the transition coming in on September 1st.
Right.
And that's going to be really difficult to manage through. And when you look at the schedule the Red Sox have played as of late, they've played a lot of really bad baseball teams. So when you come out and they lose Sunday to the Rays in a shutout and then get basically handled easily Monday and Tuesday by the Indians, there's got to be some sort of concern in the back of your mind, knowing the history of the Red Sox organization, first off. And it's not even just before success of 2004. In 2011, they blew that 11-game lead, giving up that home run to Longoria on the last day of the season. So it's always got to be in the back of your mind, and especially in this situation, because the New York Yankees aren't some schlub team that's getting lucky. They're a superstar stacked team that has a lot of talent, a great, smart, baseball-minded coach, and they have a chance to easily erase this kind of a lead with the right schedule, and they have to play those same bad teams the Red Sox have been playing. Mm-hmm. Just they keep losing. Losing 9-3 last night to the Marlins is not the way to catch back up to the Red Sox.
How many games will the Red Sox win in the regular season?
I'd love to say 117, but it's probably not going to happen, right? I think we're to the point where that's really out of the realm.
Yeah, that looks unlikely.
To have one really big streak to get to that. But I think their record was 104. I think the 1912 Red Sox were 104. So anything above that, set that franchise record, and then that's a good sign, because last time they won that many games, they also won a World Series. So
Braves heated up again. They won 3 in a row. Yeah. Better news is that Philadelphia's lost 4 in a row, so you got a 3-game lead, and looking good.
And then haven't they lost 5 of 6 because they split with the Red Sox, the Phillies? So you're welcome, Atlanta fans.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's awesome to see that they're still doing it. We've talked all year about, will this bubble burst? Will they kind of slide back to earth? They've had the fortune of the Nationals being just a complete dumpster fire this season, so that's kind of helped without having the pressure of that star team.
Right.
With the young minds, the young players that you have on the Braves, if you do have a team like the Nationals, I think nipping at your heels or pushing you, you know, to that brink, you might see a team stumble a little bit in that situation. The Braves haven't had to deal with that, and they're cruising. They're just loving life, enjoying baseball, and they're winning big games against really good baseball teams.
If the Yankees aren't out of it at 9 back, why did the Nationals throw in the towel? They're 7.5 back right now. Why do they start making trades? Why are they out of it? Just because they've shown no spark at all?
I almost wonder if it's Rizzo thinking, this is our last shot. We're garbage right now, and there's no picking it back up next year because Bryce is gone. He's not going to stay, I don't think, because this is too much of a track record, and it seems like an organizational problem more so than anything. And they keep getting a new manager every year to try to make things better in the clubhouse. Nothing changes, and they keep coming up short and really living way below their expectation levels. So it's something that's got to change, and maybe he's just trying to focus now. If Bryce leaves, what can I do to get as many prospects today? What can I do to try to build this thing young and start anew, knowing that we're not going to have the superstar that we had? Because, I mean, he's leaving, and I don't know if they're going to even be willing to pay him the money he wants right now after how things have gone the last couple of seasons.
If Tebow hadn't gotten hurt, we'd be watching him on a 56-win Mets team right now?
Probably. Well, not right now, but September.
Right.
I think
September
he would have because just the fact that, A, he wasn't doing horribly anymore. He was doing, you know, he's mediocre for double A. He was doing much better, improving at a decent clip, and at least was putting the bat on the ball, which a lot of the Mets have not done recently. Outside of one game, I think they scored 20 after they gave up 23 straight days or something like that, with just the horribleness that the Mets are. And it would benefit Tebow that that team is so bad right now and struggling to sell tickets, because they've really disenfranchised themselves to their fan base over the last couple of seasons with how they handled that World Series team that was right on the brink. They've kind of ruined the pitching staff. They've already lost Matt Harvey by trading him away. DeGrom wants out. There's all this drama up there. So they need somebody in the seats. And if you want to sell tickets in meaningless baseball games, that would have been the way to do it. So kind of unfortunate for Tim Tebow, because he could have proved us wrong.
Yeah.
Since we've been saying double A from the beginning is ceiling. He would have been there, I think, come September 1st.
With every step he moved up, he played better. So who knows what he would have been with him.
Maybe it was just not good enough competition. You got to push him.
Thank you, Diddy. Let me get one call in before the break from Matt. Matt, thanks for hanging on. You're in the huddle. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to agree with you guys and disagree with Lonzo. This absolutely is going to hurt the Buckeyes recruiting. You know, this thing going on with Urban Meyer, this is definitely going to set him back. He's got a big contender out there in the Midwest that's recruiting against him in Harbaugh. Before Harbaugh came around, Michigan wasn't doing anything. They weren't recruiting nobody. Then they went like 2-10 or something silly. And then Harbaugh's there. Now they're a powerhouse. And Urban Meyer's going to lose.
Wait. Matt, what was Michigan's record last year?
They're better than it was before Harbaugh, that's for sure.
Well, you said they're a powerhouse. That means they beat their rivals, right? You said they were a powerhouse.
I'm saying that they're way, way, way better. And if you look at their recruitment class, I'm pretty sure they're top 10, which is light years ahead of where they were before Harbaugh came around.
And this which says a lot about Harbaugh, top 10 class, and he can't beat Ohio State or Michigan State.
Look, speaking of beating, you know, Ohio State has a black eye on this program because of what Urban Meyer has put on this. And now they're under a much bigger microscope, and they cannot – see, recruiting is a business, and there's money involved despite what anybody wants to say. And now there's a much bigger microscope over the Buckeyes because of this stuff. They can no longer afford to play as aggressively as they once did in the recruitment game. This is going to trickle down from the top. Ohio State's going to suffer from this. Black eye on the program, pun intended.
Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. 844-477-3776. We'll come back and talk to Chris Miller, WRHI in Rock Hill, and get a little scouting report on the Northwestern Trojans. They play Burns tomorrow night. That's next in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We're back. It's the huddle, ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. And on the line, we have my friend Chris Miller, WRHI in Rock Hill. He's the sportscaster of the year. Of course, there's nothing new about that. Chris wins it. It's like every year since 1960-something, right, Chris?
I don't know about 1960. I guess I've been fortunate to win it as long as you guys have been having the top sports show. So.
We appreciate you coming on, man. How you doing?
I'm doing super fantastic. Ready for some great football up at Nixon Field tomorrow night.
Yep, we get Northwestern coming in to Duncan to take on the Burns Rebels. And, of course, you're the voice of the Trojans for many years. Tough start last week with South Point. Of course, a lot of people have tough times against South Point. What was your overview of that game? What happened to the Trojans, and why weren't they a little more competitive in that one?
I think the South Point's back, and everyone got caught up in Darion Kendrick graduating and Eli Adams and B.T. Potter and those guys that went on to play Clemson and Virginia Tech. And everyone said, South Point's going to be down. But, you know, the Stallions have won 27 consecutive games and 4 straight state championships for a reason. They're a great football team. One of the best, not just in South Carolina, but it's one of the best in the Southeast. So year in, year out, they put out great football. And Northwestern historically has too, but South Point, the way they just line up, smash you in the mouth, and I think that caught Northwestern off guard. And defensively, there was really nothing that Northwestern could do to contain those running backs. I mean, they have two probably guys that are going to get Division I. One is committed to Coastal Carolina and Maurice Whitlock, and they just ran all day. So I think there were many problems for the Trojans, both on offense and defense in the game.
Yeah, Chris, Northwestern's been through some stuff. You had a mid-year coaching change. Has that set them back, or do you think that's history and it's just now a matter of getting these athletes that you clearly have on that team to start playing together?
Yeah, I think it's history, but I think at the same time it's there because, as we talked about when that move was made at the time, does that sort of set a precedent? You know, okay, you're making a mid-season coaching change, and it's not like the guy who was the coach and David Pierce was someone who had just come around. He'd been at the school for almost 30 years. He'd been an assistant under Jimmy Wallace and Kyle Richardson. And when Kyle Richardson took a job with Clemson's football team, Coach Pierce got the opportunity and had a pretty good season his first year. They had Mr. Football, and Gage Maloney, the quarterback, played for him, and they made it to the playoffs. But Maloney got hurt on the second play of the game, and they got upset by Gaffney in the playoffs that year. And then they had a tough start. They got blown out by Burns last year, got blown out by Spartanburg, and then the school made a change. And Coach Martin came in. He was the defense coordinator. They went 5-2 in his final seven games. And coming into this year, I mean, they feel pretty good. They got a lot of tools in place, but I think the big change for them, they brought in a new offensive coordinator, and he, not to say he totally changed the offense, but he changed a lot of the things they do on offense.
All right, talk about some of these guys that they have. First of all, Jamario Holly. Gamecock fans will know about him because he's committed to South Carolina. And he's the number two player in the class of 2019. What's the deal on Holly? He's not real big, but fast, right?
He's fast, and he's a great route runner. He's a guy who was a freshman All-American when he was in the ninth grade, was really the most important receiver on that team that won the state championship back in 2015. He had a kind of a sophomore slump, but he still got the offer from South Carolina for going into his junior year, and really was dynamic last year. He returned four punts for touchdowns. He caught 75 passes, about 1,300 yards, had 14 scores. So he's a guy they try to get in his hands early and often. He'll return punts, he'll return kicks. I would say he obviously be the number two recruit in the 2019 class. He's a top wide receiver in the state this year, and the problem you have now is he's been so good that teams double and triple team, and that's what South Point did Friday night. So Northwestern kind of tried to force in his hands. But they've had another guy, a guy by the name of Gregory Bivens, who's come on. He is a little bit bigger body. He looks the part. You know, he looks like a lot of those guys that Burns fans are familiar with at wide receiver. He's about 6 feet tall, about 190, can run real well. He's a guy who needs to play well. He played really well in the kickoff that was here that Burns played South Point in Northwestern's game there. He caught two touchdowns in that. So he could be a guy if Burns really clamps down on Holly. Bivens, number 19, could have a big night.
Yeah, we've seen that happen before. You've got a guy on defense in Cypress who is a commitment to Virginia as well, so another D1 player. Tell us about him.
He is lightning fast. I think he was number two in the 5A 100-yard dash for the state of South Carolina. So, in theory, you could call it he's the second fastest guy in the state, if you will. But he can fly. His coverage skills haven't been up to par maybe that you would expect. But because he's so fast, he can really make up any lost time. So, if a guy gets past him, he's going to easily catch up to him and sometimes get an interception. They do like to put him in occasionally on offense. Mm-hmm. They did that some last year. We didn't see it against South Point, but they did put him out there at wide out and have him run some go routes and really expand the defense. So he's a guy who he'll return punts, he'll return kicks as well. Was banged up the last couple weeks. Really, the South Point game was his first time back since the beginning of camp. Had a shoulder issue, but he seems to be fully healed from that now.
Chris, you're telling me this is probably not your typically sized Northwestern team because you've had some big guys in the past, but you do have some speed, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're quick, but they're not big. And that's the first thing I think Burns fans will notice when they show up. They'll say, wow, okay, this is not used to the Northwestern of old last couple seasons when Burns and Northwestern had some, you know, real barn burner matchups. Not going to have that, but Dustin Noller, the quarterback, he is the Northwestern quarterback. When people think Northwestern quarterbacks, they think Mason Rudolph. They think Gage Maloney, who's now James Madison. Of course, Mason Rudolph and Pittsburgh Steelers. Justin Worley, who was the National Gatorade Player of the Year and played at Tennessee. These are what people think. Noller fits that mold. He's 6'3". He's about 210 pounds, has a big arm, only a junior. So if he can get some time in the pocket, he could dissect the defense. His problem last week was his offensive line just could not hold South Point at bay. And they were getting to him early and often, so he just had no time to look for receivers. So that's their offensive and defensive line are undersized from what we expect from Northwestern in the past. So I think they realize that, and they'll make some changes for this week coming into Burns.
All right, Chris, last question is on Mason Rudolph. I'm a big fan of Mason's. I've been singing his praises for a while on this show. What do you think about what he's done so far at Pittsburgh and his opportunity there?
Well, I have the opportunity. He is someone who I've got to watch grow up, been very, very good friends with his dad, known him for a while. And also, Pittsburgh is my favorite NFL team. So it was I told Mason, you know, the night in the draft, I said, man, I really hope Pittsburgh gets you. And he said, yeah, I really hope too. And of course, it ended up being a third round pick, but he still ended up with the Steelers. But So I've had an opportunity to talk back and forth with his dad, and his dad played at the University of North Carolina, actually has the most tackles in a season. He and Lawrence Taylor tied for single-season tack, so it's a guy that knows football. He said Mason could do better, but I think Mason's handled himself extremely well, especially considering what the talk Ben Roethlisberger had about really – I don't want to say he was negative about the drafting of Mason, but he wasn't happy, and he let people know that. Mason has gone in and said the right things, and he's done well with his opportunity. The pick six to start the game against Green Bay, as he got the start last week, didn't help, but he recovered and drove the team down and had a nice touchdown pass to Juju Smith-Schuster that I think opened some eyes. And he'll make the roster, no doubt about that. I think he'll push Landry Jones for the backup, and I think Pittsburgh, they really feel that Mason is the future of this franchise at the quarterback position.
Chris Miller, he's with WRHI in Rock Hill. Chris, we will see you tomorrow night over at Burns. Thanks, man.
Yeah, up in the hot box, but it's not going to be too hot, so I'll be excited about that.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. That's Chris Miller, good dude there that covers the Northwestern Trojans as the play-by-play announcer, and they come to town to face the Burns Rebels tomorrow night. You can hear it here on ESPN Upstate. We're on the air at 7 o'clock. We'll come back and wrap it up in the huddle next. Stay with us on ESPN Upstate. One trend I can get behind is lower concession prices at ball games. We've talked about that in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and some other places. And now this is coming to Clemson. Clemson Athletics, in conjunction with Aramark, that's their concession partner, has announced reduced prices for select menu items at the concession stands for the 2018 season at Memorial Stadium. So here are the examples. See if this will make you happy. Bottled water at Clemson football games will be $2. Okay.
What did it used to be?
Yeah,
they're probably not throwing that out.
I want to say it was probably like $4.
That wouldn't surprise me. Four seems about average.
That's about right.
I
think it would be something like that. Maybe $3, but I'm going to say $4.
Bottled Coke products will be $3. So we're talking like is that a 16-ounce bottle, or what are we talking about here? I don't know. $3.
I think it is. Yeah.
That's all right. You can deal with that, right? Hot dog, $2. I know that's a good price for a hot dog.
Right? I can deal with that, yeah.
Are we talking all beef franks or just chicken parts?
It's a hot dog.
Okay.
I've had some nasty hot dogs at ball games too, man. I've taken pictures of those things that were so bad looking and sent it to my wife and said, should I eat this? What do you think? She said, yeah, go for it.
Go for it. Listen to her. Yes, there you go. Way to go.
We've got life insurance. How about it?
A tub of popcorn, don't know how big, $4. $4. A 22-ounce fountain drink at Clemson games will be $3. That's pretty good. 22 ounces for $3.
Okay, so 22 ounces. But what was the other? We don't know the size of the
bottle. Coke was $3.
I think they're like 16.5 or something like that.
That's what I'm guessing, yeah. A 32-ounce fountain drink, $4. And for the really thirsty among us, a 44-ounce fountain drink will be $5.
There we go. That's how you do it in Death Valley.
44 ounces, yeah. So, if they get around to selling beer, what will the price of a beer be based on those rates? $6?
$6, yes. Yeah. I was going to say $6.
Yeah. So, look, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, well, hopefully this will counterbalance the inconvenience of having to go through a metal detector.
Oh, it looks like they have, I don't have but a half, 30 seconds here, but it looks like they have the old prices at the bottom here. So the hot dogs used to be $4, they're $2. The popcorn used to be $6, it's $4. The bottled water used to be $4, as you said, $2 now. The bottled Coke products went from $4 to $3. The 44-ounce fountain drink used to be, is that $8? It's crossed out, $8 or $9, and it went to $5. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about, in some cases, a 50% reduction, and some not quite that much, but, yeah, not bad. Look.
Anytime prices go down, that's a good thing.
I'm for it. Thank you for your continuing the trend. I hope that's a trend that catches on everywhere. Movie theaters, you're next. Calling you out, man.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah,
not happening.
Not. Back tomorrow in the huddle, it'll be high school football Friday. We'll talk about that, set up the games for you tomorrow night, and give you the latest on college football practices, Major League Baseball, and more when you join us at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Straight Up with Sturge is coming up next. We'll see you at 1 o'clock on Friday on ESPN Upstate. Have a great day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.